Top of my notes, the words, two words, national emergency. You know, we're learning new words. We're learning new phrases. It's funny how our society makes, a few years ago, one of the Hollywood couples, one of the starlet couples that had been married for a while, they decided they were going to divorce, and they were going to separate, but they were enlightened. And so they released a statement that together they had come together, and the statement was they had decided on conscious uncoupling. Conscious uncoupling. Now, that's a bunch of words just saying we're splitting up. But we learn all kinds of new words. We learned two new words this week, national emergency. But there's another new two words we've learned this week that we've never said before. Anybody know what they are? Social distancing. Social distancing. That we've got to, it's like when you go to exercise, you put your hands all the way out. I don't know. They weren't social distancing in the liquor aisle at Rouse's yesterday. I'll tell you that right now. They were elbow to elbow there. And I would like to point out that all the keto food and the vegetarian stuff was still on the shelves. I'm not kidding you. Am I serious about that right now? And I brought Linda a couple of those Lean Cuisine pizzas that she loves. And, you know, I brought it so she's happy with that. Today, my assignment is to build faith in the hearts of our covenant family. That's my assignment. That's Linda's job in just a few minutes, too. Today, when you hear a miraculous accounts of God's hand, I know your faith is going to be working. Today is a day of prayer. The proclamation went out that today we look to God for protection and strength in times like these, and we've done it throughout history. And together, as an act of faith and prayer, the proclamation said, we will prevail. I want to give you the perspective, and I want to just lovingly say panic and politicization needs to stop, because we're all in this boat, okay, together right now. The cancer that kills people, we have forgotten about. The heart disease that kills people every day. The mosquitoes that kill people every year. The flu that kills people every year. We need some perspective. There's one of the famous lawyers that's on television, and he certainly takes positions that I don't take many times. And this man actually made this statement on Friday. It seems like the triumph, it's been a triumph of frenzy over facts. And doesn't even proclaim to be a Christian man, but there needs to be some understanding. Yesterday when we were on radio and we were talking about the situation, the word came to me, the word that happened during the World War II. In fact, what got me thinking about it, C.S. Lewis wrote something. I wish I had it for you today. It kind of came up after I'd already finished putting everything down here. C.S. Lewis wrote something down after the bombs had gone off. And C.S. Lewis said, okay, how do we live? And he said, well, we live with the realization that things are different now. It's like the people in Israel right now. They know that just over that fence, somebody's over there. They're trying to kill them, and every day, it's an emergency every day, and they have to decide. Well, anyway, during the years in England and Britain, the great leader Churchill, he came forward as he spoke to those people. In fact, during the war years, the President Roosevelt came on the radio, said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Now, there was a lot to fear there, but the people needed a gathering motivation word. You're going to see, there's a gathering motivation word that you see in the story of Exodus in Moses a few weeks. You're going to see on a stick there, you look at that, and you're going to live. Right, and I just want to encourage you right now. Not Roosevelt, Winston Churchill. He went on the radio and he told the people of England during this time, and there was bombed ruins all over the city of London and all over. And you know what he said? You know what he said? And it's still everywhere. If you go to England, it's everywhere. He said these words: "Keep calm, and what? And carry on. Keep calm and carry on." I think that's the word. We walk around as people who have no hope. No, that's not us. We have a lot of hope here and there right now. Today, I want us to remember the word of Paul in Ephesians 5. So be careful how you live. Do not live like fools, but live like those who are wise people. Do not live like fools, but live like wise people. Covenant people, not arrogant people, but people who know what to do. The word said that during a difficult time, and they're only mentioned one little verse in the scripture, it said that the sons of Issachar, they knew what to do. And I'm believing that you will have that spirit, and we will have this spirit, and it will pervade every area of decision making right now, whether it's military or wherever it is today. What is my position on this? I do want to speak to be careful, prayerful, and mindful. We exercise caution, but we're not in intimidation and fear. You received this on Facebook. Some of you, if you're on email, you got it yesterday. And I wrote these words: this week we woke up in a different world. There are many more questions than answers. And right now, we're walking through multi-levels of challenges. Tensions are high. Fear is rumbling. But remember, as covenant people, when navigating an intimidating life storm, we must walk with faith. Three things: faith, caution, and good sense. Faith, caution, and good sense. We do not walk in panic, intimidation, and fear. So I'm telling you to lift your heads, lift your spirits. Yeah, but how do you do that? Don't you know what's going on? Well, Psalm 119 says that our way can be a cleansed way and a right way if we take heed according to what the Word of God says. Another translation says, by living according to what the Word says. And another one says, by guarding our heart with His Word right now. That seems clear right now. So three things I got to watch. And some of them are easier than others. But there's a fight going on right now in our minds. That's where the biggest war, that's where the fear is. It's all there right now. And you can watch something, and people believe everything they hear and see on TV. You need to look at things. You need to stand back. And you need to say, what's the word here? Well, the Word talks about dividing the vile from the precious, that you get the right thing. So I gave you three things in that note and on Facebook. We must watch our minds. We must watch our mouths, and we must watch our movements. And can I lovingly say to you, this challenge will soon pass. There was a day not many years ago when there was water in your house. You couldn't see around it. It passed. We moved on. We moved on. We moved on. In 2009, thousands and thousands of people were dying around us, and it didn't hardly get on the radar. But now you got 24-hour news, you got social media, and things have to be stirred all the time. Where am I going to land today? Here's the word for you. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So this I will declare about the Lord. Isn't that cool? What are you going to say about the Lord? He's all right. No, what are you going to say? Remember the old song? It just popped in my head right there. I couldn't help that. That's ADD, y'all. This I will say and declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He's my God. I will trust in Him, for He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter. Those are picture words. He'll cover you like with feathers. How many need some covering today? I need it. I need some sheltering with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. You don't know that. No, it's my armor. It's my protection. So don't be afraid by the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day, nor the dread of the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor disaster that strikes at the noonday. Jump to verse 9. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. And then, they're going to hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. That's why we prayed for missionaries today, people serving God all around the world right now that need touch. I'll protect those who trust in my name, and when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them salvation. Our country needs God today. Our country needs God today. In 1984, in one of his addresses, President Reagan said, God doesn't need America. America needs God, he said. And he said, if we forget we're one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under, he said. So where do you stand? I'm a singer. The singer's always there. A lot of times I fall into lyrics, I fall into things. I mean, I was trying to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made this morning, but one thing after another kept coming after me, but I'm still singing it. But these words, when I was sitting at the computer, I said, what final words could I give? And all of a sudden the song came, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. So I want to encourage you, step up. Step up. Don't walk in fear. Walk with good sense. Walk with faith. Be encouraged. This could be the finest hour for the people of God. A.W. Tozier said it this way: a scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world needs a fearless church. Y'all ought to take pictures of that. A scared world needs a fearless church. Read it with me. A scared world needs a fearless church. You know who the church is? Y'all, baby. Y'all, baby. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. It's y'all right now. You are the church. Linda will continue these words of encouragement. Come on, sweetie, right now.
Wow, I'm encouraged just today by everybody here. And boy, did y'all sing a roar this morning. And that tells me a lot of things. It tells me that you don't profess to be Christians in name only, but you believe it in your heart. And that's the thing. I mean, you don't get to pick. Have you discovered this? You don't get to pick the challenges that God brings you through so that you can know who is the great I am. That's the key that I've learned. Well, when all this started, I said, I know this. I have had the challenge of illnesses and things that have suddenly come upon my life to suddenly take me out. And I definitely wouldn't have picked that to be the thing that I would be able to stand up and say, you know, God, you are the healer. You are the great I am. You are the person that's going to be the way maker through this. You know, give me something a little bit easier, God, like, you know, maybe a cut on my hand or something, or, you know, I don't know, just not some of the things I've walked through. And you've heard my testimony, and I'm going to reiterate it a little bit this morning from 1999. But before that, I want to say, there came another test, because this is the thing you got to know. We think that sometimes we're exempt as Christians, that we live in this world, and because we know God, we profess God, we sing God, that we're not going to walk through anything. Do you know that is not true? Can we all say we know that that is not true? But can we all say that we've come through? Yes, we've all come through. This yesterday morning, I was sitting down in my devotional time, and Psalm 16:8 just jumped off the page to me. And in a new living, this is what it says. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between knowing about something and knowing that you know something. I am an eyewitness to he is the great healer. That there is nothing that can come against you and take you out unless God Almighty has said, Linda, you're going to walk through this and display the glory of God, but I might be calling you home. And that is up to God. When we trust God, that's it. But I'm going to tell you, we profess, just as David did here in this psalm, hey, God, I know who you are. We just sang it. Do you know what we did? We rehearsed it. And do you know what those rehearsal times are for? To know something. You ought to be here when Lynn's here with the band. Sometimes we do the mundane thing of going over two or three measures, the interludes, the introductions, when we have to do modulations, and there's a little hiccup trying to get to that flatted fifth that we're not used to playing. You know what we do? We rehearse it over and over and over and until we're sick of it. You know why we keep doing it? Because when we get to that part, when you're singing and you got to make the transition to a new key, we'll be able to do it for you so that it'll be a natural transition. And that is what the word is about. That's what you're doing when you come in and you praise the Lord. That's what those songs were. She sang the great I am, that the mountains may shake, everything else may shake, but you're not going to shake. Why? Because you have rehearsed the words in those songs that are birthed from this. I told Michael, I laughed this morning. I'm going to get something real quick for a visual. I said, you know what? I want to ask everybody, would you rather trust in this or would you rather trust in this? I'm going to tell you, I'm an eyewitness that this helps, okay? This helps. This heals. This is the promise. He is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. I'm a living proof of miracle worker. There's many of you sitting out here that are miracles of God, whether it's been healing or from your past or maybe addictions or whatever it is. No one's going to tell you that God has not delivered you, because you're standing here today as a testimony that you got through it, and you got through it because the word of God and the faith in Christ. You know, your faith is only as good as the object that you put your faith in. Okay? This is common sense, but this is how you get through a broken, diseased, and corrupt world. This is how you get through. This is why you don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. In the midst of the storm, you sang it. You raise a hallelujah when? In the storm. But you know what? You better learn how to sing before the storm comes. Because when the storm comes, you're not going to feel like it. And you're going to, and then the chorus goes, when it doesn't seem like God's working. You know, I wish God was a little louder. This is when I know he's definitely male. Because women would be shouting it, okay? They'd be telling everybody. But you know what? God has that still, small voice. And when we are in a panic, I'm expecting the world to be in a panic. I'm not expecting the body of Christ to be in a panic. I'm not saying that you won't be hesitant, that you won't have some concern, but I'm saying that if God's telling me don't be anxious, then that means, hey, he's got this. I've got to stand on the word. I've got to listen. God will give you directives. We've been studying, Michael's been teaching about Joseph. What were the directives that God gave to Joseph? Well, you're going to have famine, so you need to put away some food. He told him practicality stuff, okay? Well, it's the same thing. When we're not in a panic, we can hear. And that's what I want to encourage you today. I want you to be able to hear. Don't be in a panic. Understand God knows exactly where you are. When Michael read, he that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, that he is our refuge and our strength and our shelter. The thing that we've got to understand is that abiding means dwelling, not visiting, not dropping by, dwelling. Dwelling there. So I got to thinking about it, and I said, Lord, I just want to just tell him. The latest thing that happened to me, some of you know, maybe some of you don't know how serious it was, but it'll be 3 years this year that I suddenly, you know, not unaware of what was going on, contracted MRSA. Does anybody know what MRSA is? Okay, there's different degrees of it. But when you get MRSA, it's a bacteria. There is nothing they can do about MRSA. It does run its course. But if you don't get help, what happens is it gets in your bloodstream, and complications come from that. And I went to two doctors and an emergency room, and all of them missed it. All of them missed it. But God knew that I'd be standing here today to tell you that is something that, just like this virus, that, you know, viruses don't have antibiotics. Do you know that, right? All right, so it's, and so listen, I'm telling y'all, this is what happened. I ended up in the emergency, being checked into a hospital. They did 1 hour of surgery, digging out, I hate to be gross, infection, and of all places, you can get MRSA anywhere. I got it underneath my arm. What's underneath your arm? Lymph nodes. The lymphatic system in your body is extremely, Iris is shaking her head because she's in the medical profession. It's one of the worst places to get it, okay? Because your lymphatic system is what spreads throughout your body. And so I just want you to know that here I was, and when I came, it's very painful. When my Christian doctor comes in dressed like those strange looking people you see that have those little suits and all that stuff on, it freaked me out a minute. I was delirious with pain to begin with, but then they're walking in like this. I mean, what's wrong with these people? And they said, you are contagious until we can find out if it's in your blood system. We did not expect it to be this bad and this deep. Well, that was words that I didn't want to hear. Would you want to hear that? And so for a minute, I'll be very honest, I was scared. For a minute, the enemy screamed in my ear, "This is it. This is it. This is not going to be good, Linda." And I'm in so much pain. It was unbelievable. But, you know, when everybody left and it's just me and God, because you know life is single file, right? You go to heaven single file. It's not what your mama and your daddy believe. It's not what your husband believes. It's not what your friends believe. It's what you believe. It's what you believe that is the difference maker. You will stand before your creator. And so when everybody left and I'm on my bed, all of a sudden, God reminded me once again, I should have learned this back in 1999. God reminded me of the word that I needed to know, forget not his benefits, Psalm 103. It was through a song we used to sing. And again, when this happened, I in my heart, God said, "Linda, you've been here before. Did I not show you that I am, that I can heal anything, that a name has to bow? There is nothing." And that is true. And so this is the thing I would encourage you today with. I hope I'm stirring your faith. I hope that you are seeing yourself in these words, that God Almighty pulled me through. But did I have to do something? Yes, I had to do something. I had to stand and believe. Believing is an active word. It's not a passive word. It's singing those songs we sang this morning. I'd encourage you to look up every one of those. The first one, The Great I Am, Phillips, Craig, and Dean, or Brooklyn Tabb. Second one, Raise a Hallelujah. I'm not sure about the artist of that one, but look it up. You can get the all of the lyrics. The third one, Waymaker. I mean, that is a perfect song. He is a waymaker. So here it was. I still didn't have the end result. You know, it's easy to be able to be a return missionary, as Michael said. It's easy to be able to be on this side of it and tell you all of this. It's another thing to be in the hospital. I'm going to tell you, I was in the hospital longer than Michael was when he had gallbladder surgery. I was in the hospital for 6 days and nights. So I'm telling you that it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what the news is saying. It doesn't matter what your family think or believe. It doesn't matter how many rolls of toilet paper that they drag out of the store. It doesn't matter what is lacking or none of that matters. Yes, be smart. But I just want to encourage you, God is a healer. God will provide healing if you will stand still and see God in your circumstances. Again, provision, guidance, protection, God is all of this and so much more. I would encourage you this week to get your Bibles out and look in the back and at the concordances. Look in some study references. And whatever it is that your faith needs some shoring up, needs a little extra, you know, right now it's the time to throw dirt in the yard if you've got some low spots. You know, you need to get in here, look up those particular words, and begin to read it, rehearse it. Let God bring back to you some of the songs that we sing so that the joy of the Lord can be your strength. It will be a seed that is planted in your heart. And I am a living, breathing testimony that it will produce a harvest of peace, righteousness, health, goodness, and the glory of God will be seen in your life. And that's the most important thing. We do not want to be a people that is out there acting and sounding like what is happening out there, because we know the God in whom we serve. And that's the importance of this. I am so encouraged to see all of y'all here this morning. I just want to profess to you right now, God is with you. I know the Lord is always with you. You will not be shaken, for he is right beside you. He's in you. He's around you. David didn't know the in you part yet because of the new covenant. Look, if David could say this with the old covenant, how much more can we say it with the new covenant? God is in us. He is with us. Be encouraged. Speak faith to yourself first and then to your neighbor. God will always win. He's going to win here. God bless you.